Blog Talk Radio.
To the New Heights Show on Education. My name is Kaden Behan, your host, and today we're going to be talking about School Improvement Model Shows Promise in the First IP Evaluation Part 2. If you recall, last week I was sick, unfortunately, so we couldn't continue with Part 2 for last week. But a couple weeks ago we talked about what the I3 evaluation was and some school improvement models that have been shown to provide different innovative things in education that have improved student performance, especially in literacy and development of reading skills. But before we go into review that for this week, we're going to have a few announcements, as we always do. Additionally, to call in to speak with me on the radio show, you can call our number at 347-633-9225. To contact New Heights directly, please call 419-786-0247. You can email us at newheightseducation@yahoo.com as well, and our website, newheightseducation.org. New Heights continues to offer its biweekly enrichment day and co-op classes. The next class will be February 28th from 1 to 3 p.m., and the classes will be held at Defiance at the Zion Lutheran Church. Please note that classes are not religion-based unless families want there to be one. Parents and students are required to participate in these classes and help with the planning of them. We are offering a reading time, science class, Irish dancing class, and credit class, and are open to more suggestions for future classes. Students are invited to not only attend, but to also participate in constructing some of the classes. If you're interested in participating, volunteering, or tutoring, please contact us directly again at our number 419-786-0247 or email us at newheightseducation@yahoo.com with your interest. Tutors and teachers are needed. We are new to tutors and teachers in Defiance in Putnam County. Anyone that would like to volunteer should contact us directly. There are also some paid opportunities, and we currently need tutors for reading. Upcoming meetings. On Saturday, March 8th, we will be holding our student advisory meeting in Holgate, Ohio, and online. If you are interested in student leadership opportunities, we urge you to consider attending. We will also be discussing the New Heights, the new Student Leadership Council that we recently launched for older youth. The new National Student Leadership Council, which is for students in grades 9th grade to college students, age 14 to 23. This is open to the public, and any student from any state is eligible to participate. All students entering the Leadership Council must have at least a 3.0 GPA. The councils aim to help students build academics, talent, leadership, and community service, along with other skills. Finally, on Sunday, March 9th, we are planning to hold a bake and candy candle sale. Place and time is to be announced in the coming week. So now let's get back into our topic for this week. As I said before, last week we talked a little bit about the I3 evaluation, and just to reiterate in case, just because it's been so long since we last talked about this, the Investing in Innovation I3 Fund provides grants to entities with a record of improving student achievement. Local educational agencies and nonprofits, in partnership with local educational agencies or consortium of schools, in order to expand the implementation of and investment in evidence-based practices, strategies, and programs to significantly improve student achievement or student growth, as well as to help close achievement gaps, decrease dropout rates, increase high school graduation rates, and increase college enrollment and completion rates. So that's just a review of what the I3 actually is. And then we talked about School Improvement Model Shows Promise for the First I3 Evaluation, and this article by Sarah D. Sparks talked about different studies that are coming about that have shown to be successful in improving education. One such program is Success for All, a popular school improvement model used in 1,000 schools representing 300,000 students nationwide. This program, which includes school-wide curriculum, tutors, bi-monthly student assessments, and teacher training, received money from the I3 evaluation program to expand in more schools and increase training for teachers and staff. And additionally, with the Success for All is the Reading Recovery Program, which is highlighted in the in one school story. The Success for All, again on Success for All, is highlighted in one school story. Central Elementary School in Allentown, Pennsylvania, is one of the schools that's testing Success for All as a turnaround model in three grants. The school, which has previously failed to meet its federal yearly progress goals, has also hit targets for the first time in 2010-2011, and more than 1,000 fewer school absences in that year. As part of the program, the school reports having a literacy coach for 3 days per week, providing about 30% more professional development for the recovery program, which is Ohio State University's Reading Recovery Program. and this program received about $45 million to $50 million in order to meet on track the rigorous evaluation standards set forth by the Federal Works Clearinghouse. And so we're going to go into that too. And what we also talked about last week as part of the review as well, we talked about how there's some issues with the innovation grants, unfortunately, with the I3 grants, when grantees are asked to raise funds to match the funds that they're given from the I3 Grant Association. This is highlighted in the article that we discussed last week by Jason Tomamasi, which states that 2 years after the U.S. Department of Education awarded $650 million in investing in innovation grants and set off a mad dash for grantees to raise more than $100 million in matching private funds in 5 weeks, some of the I3 winners are still facing financial uncertainty stemming from initial fundraising struggles. A businessman who pledged $400,000 to an Oregon School District's ARC program did not make his most recent payment, potentially putting the program's future in jeopardy. Other grantees have also encountered problems with matching funds coming through, and some nonprofit grantees have been forced to contribute their own money to match the initial amount. For this part, the Education Department has lessened the matching fund requirements, but it's less clear on possible outcomes for grantees that have run into this financial problem. Part of the I3 challenge is that there's so much cheerleading on the front end and that there is a lack of attention to how to execute and implement, says Frederick M. Hess, the Director of Education Policy Studies for Washington-based American Enterprise Institute and author of an opinion blog for Education Week. He notes that they didn't spend a lot of time thinking about the what-if. So this is some of the issues that were involved with the grants, which has the requirement to match the funds given by the grants. So those are some of the issues that we talked about last week. This week, we're going to go more into the actual program, such as Success for All, because I felt like it was very important to go into what is being considered as a innovative and successful educational program considered by I3, and how maybe some of the things that this program implements can be useful for those who are educating their students at home or just teachers who do happen to work in public education or in charter school education. So I thought that it would be very important to kind of go through the program of Success for All and Reading Recovery. And so first, we're just going to read a little summary of Reading Recovery Pays Off in the I3 study. And this is also by Sarah D. Sparks. First graders in the Reading Recovery Program made dramatic gains in word recognition and comprehension in the first year of a massive expansion financed by the Federal Investing in Innovation Program. Over a school year, participating pupils progressed nearly 2 months faster than similar peers who did not take part in the intervention and gained nearly 30% more learning than the average first grader nationally. So according to the first three independent evaluations of the program by a team from the Consortium for Policy Research and Education. In many of these cases, these kids are going from not being able to read well or not being able to read at all to being able to read just as well as an average first grader nationally, said the lead investigator Henry May, the director of the University of Delaware Center for Research in Education and Social Policy and a senior researcher at the consortium. Reading recovery developed in New Zealand and has been introduced in the United States by the Ohio State University in 1984 and includes intensive individual instruction by trained teachers for 30 minutes a day. They received 43.6 million from the first round of the IQ grant to train 15 new teachers. For their study, researchers randomly assigned 866 pupils in 147 schools, all of whom performed in the lowest 15 to 20% of readers in their grade, received either normal reading instruction or reading recovery. Here, performed on the same test in reading Humble Iowa Test of Basic Skills twice to a control group, which scored in the 18th percentile. Program muted for some reason for a little bit, but we're going to go into the history of the Success for All Foundation. Excuse me. In the beginning, cooperative learning. Success for All started this school in 1970s as students at Reed College in Oregon. And they quickly realized they shared a passion for improving education. They spent hours talking about how to make sure children got the education they deserve, especially to disadvantaged circumstances. Both of them studied psychology and quickly became fans. Continued to use and put their business into action. Success for All grew out of the program of research and development that started with basic research on cooperative learning strategies. By 1980, Bob and Nancy's group at Johns Hopkins University had learned how to harness the power of kids working with kids by structuring methods in which groups could succeed only if all members had mastered the academic material they were studying. Up to that point, Bob and Nancy's methods only dealt with instructional processes, not curriculum. The instructional processes were popular and effective, but Bob and Nancy felt there were well-structured cooperative learning that would never be a fundamental part of daily instruction until it was embedded in the curriculum. Beginning in 1980, they developed a complete math program, team-assisted instruction, which combined cooperative learning with individualized instruction. In 1983, they developed Cooperative Integrated Reading and Composition, or the CIRC. Research on both these programs found strong positive effects on achievement, but even more, Bob and Nancy's experience with these programs taught them how integrating process and curriculum can make cooperative learning and other effective practices the basis for reform in these core subjects. However, Bob and Nancy were still working classroom by classroom, and they began to see the need to involve entire schools in the reform process to deal with issues that individual teachers could not confront alone. In 1985, they began to work on the Cooperative Elementary School, a model that combined the programs with school organizational changes, assertive efforts to integrate special education students and family support programs. Again, the results were very positive, and the experience taught Bob and Nancy how working with whole schools could enhance professional development, implement quality and outcomes for all students. At the same time, they wrote a book with Nancy Cartwright, Effective Programs for Students at Risk, that reviewed the research on a wide variety of approaches that had been effective with disadvantaged minority and academically handicapped students. Baltimore City's request. In 1986, Bob and Nancy had a visit from Common Buzzy Hedelman, a former Maryland Secretary of Human Resources, who engaged them in a series of discussion on the question of what they'd do if they had total freedom to restructure an inner-city elementary school with an objective to make certain that every child would be successful. In early spring 1987, Heddleman announced to Bob and Nancy that he'd gotten enthusiastic approval from the then superintendent and school board president in Baltimore to actually do what they had been talking about, and they set to work right away. Nancy, with Barbara Liverman of Notre Dame College, designed the first version of what became Reading Roots and a tutoring component to go along with it. Nancy Cartwright designed preschool and kindergarten programs, and by September 1987, they had finished the first prototype, selected a pilot school, Abbotson Elementary, trained the teachers, and started implementation. After years of work, Bob and Nancy's passion was finally put into practice as a Success for All program. From the start, it was clear that Success for All was a winner. Children at Abbotson Elementary searched forward in their reading and writing, and early evaluations confirmed what everyone involved could see. In 1988, Success for All added 4 more schools in Baltimore and 1 in Philadelphia, and these started off with great success as well, expanding our programs, which is expanding the Success for All programs. By the early 1990s, Success for All had developed into a full-fledged company, and the foundation was developing its research base and roughly doubling the number of schools it served each year. In 1992, another crucial event took place. The SFAF received funding from the New American Schools Development Cooperation, now New American Schools, or NAS, to develop Roots and Wings. The main purpose of this funding was to add Math Wings and Word Lab to Success for All, but also enabled the SFAF to greatly improve its existing programs and professionalize their dissemination. Throughout the 1990s, SFAF was adding roughly 50% more schools each year, or quadrupling every three years. The foundation's growing staff of trainers kept new and old schools developing as the foundation continued to add schools. Research that the Success for All program was doing at Johns Hopkins continued to show strong positive effects on reading and writing achievement, and other researchers elsewhere, especially Steve Ross and Lana Smith of University of Memphis, began to evaluate the Success for All program and confirm the foundation's own findings. In the mid-1990s, the Success for All program began to work with other countries, first in Canada, later in England and Mexico, and adapted forms in Israel and Australia. Studies by researchers in Canada, England, Israel, and Australia compared their adaptations of Success for All to matched control schools and once again confirmed the kids of effects on student reading achievement that it had found in the U.S. Furthermore, the foundation began to get evidence from its own research, along with research at what was then the Southwest Regional Laboratory in Los Angeles, that bilingual and ESL adaptations of Success for All were producing positive effects on Spanish and English reading measures. Success never goes out of style. The Success for All's focus is still on developing and disseminating high-quality programs for children from pre-kindergarten to pre-AP, and on dealing with the problems inherent in maintaining quality and effectiveness of a rapidly growing organization. However, new developments are making the foundation's work even more visible and influential. Most recently, the Consortium for Policy Research and Education did a comparison study of Success for All, America's Choice, and the Accelerated Schools Project in its August 2009 School Improvement by Design report. Noted, the study showed that the Success for All students scored 10% higher in reading proficiency than AC, ASP, and all other comparison schools. In addition, Success for All was recently pre-qualified to provide school turnaround services in Colorado and Illinois. Success for All is not magic. The foundation's own research and that of others has demonstrated time and time again that achievement outcomes are closely related to the quality of implementation. Success for All Foundation does not work for every child in every school. However, the story of Success for All Foundation is one of relentless efforts by a remarkable group of developers, researchers, coaches, teachers, school leaders, and communities to put proven programs into every school willing to undergo extensive reform. We're going to talk about the different programs that they have implemented, and one of the couple of them that I did want to get to. If we don't have time, we might not get to both of them, but this is the early childhood interventions for success for all, and one is called Curiosity Corner. Imagine preschool classrooms in which children are expanding their vocabularies and building math, science, art, music, and interpersonal skills. They do it by playing games, singing songs, hearing stories, and making up their own, engaging in make-believe, and much more. Rich engaging video from Sesame Street and other resources is part of their day, and then 4 days a week, children take home DVDs with more Sesame Street and other video content to view with their parents, making a key link between home and school as parents learn how to support the themes and skills being taught in school that same day. Wouldn't you want your own child in such a pre-K class? Wouldn't you want everyone's child to have this experience? This is what the new Curiosity Corner Second Edition program is designed to do. It provides preschool educators with print and electronic content and professional development designed to transform preschool classrooms and link them to children's homes. 3- and 4-year-olds are natural scientists, engineers, and linguists. They are curious about everything and have endless energy to explore and learn. As national policies are focusing on expanding preschool opportunities to prepare children for kindergarten, preschool educators have few opportunities to create rich learning environments for children at this critical stage of life. Curiosity Corner uses themes, cooperative learning, center-based activities, reading circles, and videos at home and school to engage, excite, and educate young children in school and beyond. Curiosity Corner program elements is a comprehensive program for 3- and 4-year-old preschoolers designed to provide strong foundation in language and literacy, mathematics, science, listening, and social skills, creative expression, and positive self-esteem through holistic, thematic approach to instruction. This program provides teachers with well-structured thematic units aligned with state and national early learning guidelines. The program includes detailed instructions and provides many of the materials necessary to implement simulating engaging program while training and supporting the educators who are implementing the program. How is the program structured? This consists of 18 integrated 2-week thematic units that relate to children's lives, interests, and surroundings. Children are introduced to concepts, they engage in concrete activities related to those concepts, and then they are given time to review the concept again. The manual for Curiosity Corner provides general outcome philosophy and a description of curriculum components, teaching strategies, home links, teacher support, and assessment tools. Curiosity Corner's integrated approach is built on daily sequence of components. What are teachers provided? Each teacher receives a teacher's manual, except for basic equipment and supplies typical of a well-equipped early childhood classroom, and some teacher-acquired materials. The Success for All Foundation supplies the materials necessary to implement Curiosity Corner that include theme guides for each 2-week unit, theme-related children's books, manipulatives, games, video content on flash drives to use during circle time, and other materials to support theme-related activities. Professional development coaching. One of the key to Curiosity Corner's success is in-depth professional development provided by the Success for All Foundation, which coaches to support teachers' implementation of the thematic units. Scope and sequence. The program's focus on language and literacy is based on research that supports the promotion of oral language and emergent literacy as key factors in later academic achievement. The program provides a balanced developmental approach, emphasizing language and literacy in the context of physical, emotional, and interpersonal development, math, science, social studies, music, movement, and art. The last program that I wanted to talk about was Kinder Corner, which is when the child is actually in kindergarten. This is a program that they do implement. Kinder Corner is a comprehensive kindergarten program based on research indicating that young children learn best when material is delivered holistically rather than in isolation. Using a thematic approach to learning, Kinder Corner addresses all developmental domains for early learners. Kinder Corner helps children make sense of the world around them, fostering the development of children's language, literacy and math, and interpersonal self-help skills and science and social studies concepts. Kinder Corner provides kindergartners with the same type of experiential and child-centered curriculum that is a foundation for the Curiosity Corner curriculum. Ideally suited for a full-day classroom, Kinder Corner provides the balance between child-initiated activities and teacher-directed instruction with emphasis given to oral language and literacy development. How is Kinder Corner structured? This consists of 16 thematic units that are designed to relate to children's lives, interests, and surroundings and introduce them to concepts that are then explored and reviewed through concrete integrated theme-related activities. Kinder Corner specifically targets language and literacy development through the discussion of thematic concepts to promote children to promote the children's phonological awareness, phonemic awareness, and oral language development. These activities include interactive story reading and storytelling, action songs and rhymes, and verbal guessing games. Each day, children choose learning labs and engage in reflection activities to promote their problem-solving skills. Students also read Kinder Corner concepts of print and books, which helps them develop phonics and other reading readiness skills. Beginning halfway through the school year, formal reading instruction is introduced through Kinder Roots. Through fun lessons and shared stories, students are exposed to the use of sound blending and strategies for word recognition and text comprehension as they read phonetically through controlled text. Well, it seems like we only have a couple more minutes left, so we won't get to the reading recovery program, but the two programs are very similar. Next week, please join us for our show, that will be Homework Friends Help Shape Teenagers' Sleep Patterns, which will be next week. Thank you again for joining me, and I do apologize for the noise. Unfortunately, just being in a campus, even though I'm in my room, the walls are very thin, and sometimes people can be a little bit loud outside. But I do hope that the audience was able to receive most of what I put forth in this radio show and understand it well enough without the interruptions. Thank you again so much for joining me today. Please join us again next week. Have a good rest of the weekend.
Shoulders, you raise me up to more.